Good morning. You're listening to PSA Today, a community forum for public affairs hosted by Jessica Levity for Wilkes Broadcast Group in Reno. The purpose of this 30-minute show is to give a platform to our local community builders and to promote public service. So sit back, relax, and learn what your fellow citizens are up to.
Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. I'm your host, Jessica Levity. With me on today's show from the Sheep Dip Show, I've got Roger.
Roger Dietz.
Roger Dietz. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how are you?
Good, so good. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be illegal in 13 states.
Oh, hey now. They told me I was going to like you. So you have been doing the Sheep Dip Show, not just once, not twice. How many years?
This will be my 21st show.
So people who are involved in this show, I mean, you guys really love it.
Oh, yeah. It's the most fun I've ever had with my clothes on.
Oh, Roger. So tell me, what is your role this year? What roles have you played? We have a lot of time to fill, so
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, this year, I'm assistant marketing coordinator. I work with Lene Hornbarger. And I understand she's going to be bringing some show tickets over to you for giveaways, which would be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I have been a creative producer for the show. I've been assistant director, assistant executive producer, stool coordinator. that sounds a little funny, but there's a story.
Is somebody in charge of chairs?
There's a story behind that, yeah. We have local media personalities, mostly TV folks, some radio folks, who participate in the show by doing kind of stand-up routines in pairs, you know, back and forth, like the old Rowan and Martin.
Yeah, love it.
Laugh-In used to do. And they used to, in the early days of the show, sit on stools on either side of the stage. And so that came to be called the stool segments of the show. And they set up the skits and the, you know, other things and give away the coveted Shaft Awards every year. And so the stool coordinator and assistant kind of manage that whole operation, do the writing for it and, make sure everybody shows up on time.
Very serious job, especially when you're dealing with media personalities.
Exactly. It's a lot like herding cats.
Worse, I can tell you. So tell me, 52 years, it's hard to imagine that somebody listening doesn't know what the show is about, but let's say they don't. What is it?
You know, I'm always amazed at people who've been in Reno for a long time who've never heard of the show because we certainly try to publicize it every year. We've got billboards up, but we have TV and radio PSAs and folks like you who are kind enough to let us come on and waste your airtime.
Now we love you.
Yeah. And what Sheep Dip is basically, we call it the roast of the town. And we take a look at what has happened in the news in the past year in Reno and Northern Nevada and even Las Vegas sometimes if there's some really juicy stuff. Carson City, especially when the legislature's in session, that's a target.
It's an election year.
That's a target-rich environment.
Yeah, totally.
It's really cool that Nevada alternates the legislature and elections and every, so we've always got plenty of material.
That's true.
There's either one or the other going on. So anyway, we make fun of the politicians and businesses that do not nice things, like NV Energy taking away the solar, that kind of thing.
You're calling them out, huh?
You never know. We might be doing that, yeah. We take a look at all this. Obviously, we took a close look at the legislature this year because it was a lot of fun. very dysfunctional. That's not good for the citizenry, but it's great for Sheep Dip.
Yeah. So the worst things get locally, at least it's fodder for Sheep Dip Show.
Oh, yes.
The roast of the town. Yeah. So this is a year-long process.
Yeah, pretty much. We have our first organizing dinner usually in March. And at that dinner, we also give away the money that we have raised through the show to local charities. And last year, and again this year, our charity of choice is Honor Flight Nevada. And if you're not familiar with them, they fly World War II, Korean, and now Vietnam War veterans back to Washington, D.C. to visit the war memorials and monuments. And sometimes they get to meet with one of our senators and So it's really a wonderful thing, a thank you to the veterans for what they've done for us and our freedom.
Yeah, what a great idea for a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And so the does it change every year who the proceeds go to?
Yeah, over the last few years, we've usually kept a charity for 2 years. Prior to this, it was the Four Kids Foundation. We've given to the Children's Cabinet, Make-A-Wish of Northern Nevada, the Veterans Guest House, just a variety of different charities. We try to kind of concentrate on children and veterans, but you know, we've given to children's theater groups as well, and so you know, just kind of spread the wealth around, as you will.
And everyone's a volunteer.
Everyone's a volunteer. There is no paid staff whatsoever on Cheap Dip. And that's also why we like Honor Flight, because they have no paid staff either. Everyone's a volunteer.
It's incredible that you guys give so much of your time and talent. So the show happens, you take a little bit of a break, and then what's the process like from year round? I remember last year we were talking about you guys start collecting newspaper clippings. There's a creative team that gets together. Break it down from the back end.
Well, yeah, we have another organizing meeting in July, which we called a mimosa party because for many years it was held under a mimosa tree in one of our members' backyards, and unfortunately she passed away this last year. So we've lost a few of the original folks. You know, 52
years.
52
years, yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Then around Labor Day, we gather those creative minds who want to create the show, because we have to create a brand new show every year.
Right.
It's not like doing Death of a Salesman.
Right. You know? There's no script.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to make it.
Yeah, we have to make the script. So we, get the clippings that have been collected throughout the year and look at those and see what stories we might want to cover. And then someone will usually get inspired to take on one of the other topics. We do scripts for videos because we can include videos in the show.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So we create those. We create scripts for our skits and for what we call shorter front of curtain bits, which are basically actors will come out in front and do a little quick skit about something while the stagehands are changing the stage in the back with new flats and new set dressing and all that kind of stuff. So
a lot of the satire is happening via skits.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then there's the stool bits, like you said, which is kind of stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go over a lot of the topics that, because we only have three or four skits in the show and another few front-of-curtain bits. And so there's lots of topics that we can't go into in depth like that.
But you want to make the joke.
That's what the stool people are there for. And and also to set up the skits, to explain what's going on and what you're about to see.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So who's making these sets?
Well, we have a very, very talented team of folks, artists who design the sets around what the skits are to provide a background so that you can see that you're in Sherwood Forest or wherever it might be. Then we've got a whole crew of people that paint the sets. And that's a pretty intense operation as well, because there's lots of different stuff to paint.
Right.
We have a props people who gather all the props that are needed for the thing. We have a very talented guy who builds stuff that we may need.
Right.
So it's, not everybody is good on stage. Not everybody is a writer.
Right.
But there's something that everybody can do, either backstage or just in the chorus or, we have songs, we have dance. We have some very talented dancers in the show, too. I think this year a couple of the dance numbers are going to knock your socks off. They're
how
really,
exciting.
Really good. Yeah.
That just gave me goosebumps. You're talking to a theater person right
now.
So I amen all of that. There's always a role that you can play, even if it's handing out programs.
Exactly.
So how many people, from volunteers to writers to everyone on stage, how many people are involved with the production of Cheap Dip Show?
On the list that we've got, which we call our dip list, there's about 160 people.
That is a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Not for a two-night-only event.
Yeah. Not all of them are active. I would say probably between 100 and 120 people actively involved with the show from year to year. And you know, a lot of them do double duty. I mean, a lot of people will write for the show that also appear on stage or in a video.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I've done this interview for 3 years now, which is crazy to me. And you guys have never given me too much information. But I, what can you tease that will be teased at Sheep Dip Show?
Well, let me see. There's, well, obviously, you may have heard about it. There was kind of a big tax thing that went on this year in the legislature.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That will probably come in for some, for some satire and whatnot. There was also one particular member of the legislature who was known for being very vocal and not too nice to her fellow assembly people. And, also did a calendar. so she may come in for a little bit of attention.
I love it. Yes. Any guest stars we should know about?
Jackie Ford is going to be with the show again this year.
She's such a superstar.
Jackie, I think this is her sixth or seventh year in the show, and she just she is just the most wonderful singer.
Yeah.
And she could sing just about anything. The first year she was in the show, we had her doing Michael Jackson.
Love to see Jackie Ford singing Michael Jackson. She's so incredible.
Yep. And we've got some folks, you know, mayoral people who will probably be making guest appearances.
All right.
Yes. So folks
would,
like that.
Would you say fun for the whole family?
No.
Okay, so adults.
It's adults, yeah. Okay. It's an adult show. We do use some naughty words here and there.
Okay.
No nudity, unfortunately.
That's the third time you brought up nudity this interview, Roger. So people who want tickets, how do they get them?
Well, they can get tickets through the Nugget Box Office, and that is 336-3300. It should be right there.
356-3300.
Yep. Sorry about that. They can call the Nugget and get tickets for the show. The showroom holds, I think it's about 495 people on the main floor. And then if we can fill up the balcony, that bumps it up to close to 700. And we've got over 500 tickets sold so far.
Fantastic.
So they're going pretty fast. We're still a week and a half out. So.
Right.
And as you know, Reno's kind of a last-minute town.
Oh,
people,
my God. As a producer, it's frustrating because you cannot predict what's going to happen. So, yeah, a lot of people are day of ticket salespeople.
Yeah.
But don't wait. Buy your ticket now, January 22nd, 23rd, sheepdipshow.org, 356-3300. It's the roast of the town, the 52nd year, still going strong. Anything else you want to add, Roger?
Well, we are doing something else this year. Our dress rehearsal has normally been family and friends over the years. But because we're limited to two nights in the showroom and only so many seats we can sell, that kind of limits the amount of money we can give away to our designated charity. So the last couple of years, we've kind of opened up our dress rehearsal night with discounted tickets for certain groups, and we've gone out to civic service groups like, you know, Kiwanis and the Elks and those folks in years past. This year, we're going out to all the local veterans associations because it is an Honor Flight charity show, and offering discount tickets to groups from the VFW and the American Legion and the Marine Corps League, Vietnam Veterans, all of those. So we're offering them discount tickets for the dress rehearsal night, which is a full, complete show.
Yeah.
The only difference on the dress rehearsal night is that our shaft recipients usually don't show up.
Got it. So that's actually a great promotion. So that's January 21st.
That's right. Correct.
Okay.
So any veterans out there that are members of one of the veterans organizations in town, we encourage you to get a group together and come see the show.
All right. Again, the number is 356-3300, sheepdipshow.org. Show is January 22nd, 23rd with a dress rehearsal on the 21st. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter. Roger, thank you so much for the interview and keeping your clothes on. I hope that you have a great after party and everybody gets naked. That's a different Sheep Dip Show, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, we don't talk about that part.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in Street? Girl in Street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome back to PSA Today on the second half of today's show. Community builder Meredith Chancer.
Hello, hello.
Hello. So you just got back from city council doing your civic duty. You went to make public comment. What did you make public comment about?
I went to talk about the homeless youth count and to get the city council members knowing that it's happening on July 28th and to get them involved. Our mayor
you
actually...
You mean January?
January, yes, not in July. All morning, my morning's been July. It's pretty exciting. The mayor and her assistant are volunteering, like legitimately volunteering for the count. So we just went in. I went in to talk about that. And then unexpectedly, she asked me to lead the Pledge of Allegiance, which I've done some very cool things in my life and or career. And this, it was just cool. It was really
cool. That is really
so cool.
So you're here today to talk about the homeless youth count. We've talked to Rise about it in the last couple of weeks. We've talked to NYEP. But this is too important to not hit home one more time.
It is too important to not hit home. We have a responsibility as a community to come together and take care of those in our community. And if you've never experienced homelessness, it might be something that's a little bit removed from you. However, if you were to drive through any of our streets in town and just really keep your eyes open, you're going to see homeless people everywhere. So it's important for us, for this particular count, on January 28th, to focus on young people 18 to 24. And I have to tell you, a couple of years ago when I first started volunteering for this count, before I actually became the organizer, it was eye-opening to me how many people that I pass on the streets and assume one thing about and then come to find out that they've been living on the streets. So now I'm much more aware when I'm driving around, if I see packs of kids hanging out together, they all have really big, heavy backpacks. Maybe they look a little bit disheveled, or they're sitting in the same spot in town that I pass all the time. They're always reading a book. They're always doing the same thing. Chances are they don't really have a place to go. So it's important to me to be involved, and it's important to use the voice and the connections that I have to be able to talk about something that's so important.
Yeah, amazing. And so this is happening all over the country.
Yes, it's part of the Continuum of Care Act by HUD. And what they do is they count in every county across the country to get an accurate number of homeless. Although, if they really wanted an accurate number, they probably wouldn't pick January.
I was wondering why they do that.
Oh, well, I think realistically they do that. Well, I don't know if it's for that, but I think realistically they do it so they don't get a higher number.
Oh.
Which is unfortunate, but there's no other way that you can look at all of our states across the country and think that January you're going to get the most primo numbers. I mean, we have been living in temperatures that are in their 20s, right? Mm-hmm. So we anticipate that our count's going to be very cold, and they're not coming out. You know, if you can find shelter for a couple of days during these really cold winters, you're going to do that. You're not going to come out something like this. So this year, we've really expanded our outreach, and we have many more people working actively on the streets to try to get young people there.
I was going to ask you, what is your outreach like? Because it's not like you have traditional marketing abilities to get these kids to come be counted. So what is happening to get them to the right place at the right time?
Well, you're right. Traditional means don't work. My first year, I made a ton of flyers, thinking that they would respond to that in the same way that you or I pick up a flyer for an event. Well, that's not the case. They told me I was out of touch. So what we do to reach them, a couple of things. We do have wristbands that we pass out that have the date on them. Those start going out mid-December.
That's genius.
So we give them out to young people that are already on the streets and then ask them to pass them out. Then I also approach people like you, city leaders, to hand them out to your friends. So in your case, I'd give you five. And then if anybody asks about them, just pass them on so that people know that it's happening and maybe can reach out to a young person that they might not even be sure of their circumstances, but they can reach out to them and let them know to let their friends know. Because sometimes what happens, kids in schools especially, they know that their friends are living on the streets or living in a van or moving from place to place. Those kids might not be reporting that to school.
Right.
because of the stigma that's naturally attached to it. So we're always on the hunt for kids that are sleeping on the streets, outdoors, on a rooftop maybe, or in a car, in a house or an apartment with a friend that's only on a temporary basis. So what we try to imagine is, do you get your mail there? Is that a place that if everything else fell apart that you could go and you feel safe? And that's not always the case if you're moving around location to location. Some of the other places that people don't consider is living in a garage, an attic, a basement, or a storage structure. And, of course, we have people living in abandoned buildings downtown.
Yep.
So we always keep our eyes open for those. And then in a house, if somebody's asking you to sleep in a kitchen or on the couch in the living room or in the basement, in a bathroom, while that's wonderful that you're being housed, it's really not proper housing for you.
You're considered homeless.
You're considered homeless. So we want you to come out and get counted. We don't collect any personal information from you. We also ask that our volunteers not be mandated reporters, because kids living on the streets go through all sorts of crazy things. And we don't want them at all to live in fear that they're going to be reported or someone's going to pick them up. That's not our intent, and it's not our intent to lecture you about maybe the choice you've made that have led you to live on the streets.
Yeah, we're just here to count you and to give you resources, because that's one of the best things about coming out to be counted, is that you have access to warm food and also resources that you might need, including toiletries and clothes.
Yeah, and this year, I have to say, it has been absolutely incredible. So this is my third year organizing the event, and every year it gets a little bit better and more people step up. And this year has just been exceptional. So we partner with First United Methodist Church, which is on First Street, and they have a really wonderful little kitchen area on the side. So we generally pay to rent that space. This year they waived the fee for us, which is incredible. Saves us close to $300. We've been able to expand our time there. So this year we'll serve three hot meals. We have Rise comes in. They do the lunch. Fig Tree Catering is doing the dinner, and Sparks Christian Fellowship is doing the breakfast. So they prepare to serve meals to 125 to 150 kids. And then this year, we'll use that space in between to run programs or maybe a game afternoon or something. It's kind of new information that we can use that space in addition to just serving people. So that really helps us. And then additionally, we've just had new and different members of our community that are really undertaking the donation process and really spearheading getting things done. In the past, companies maybe would step up and they say, oh, yeah, we'll help. And they go to dollar store and they buy $20 worth of stuff and then they just drop it off. But it's all random. So this year we asked people to pick one of our items that we need and try to fulfill the entire item. So lip balm, for example. It's not helpful for us if we get 15 of them. We're really going to need lip balm for every person that's out there that we're able to identify. So Sparks Christian Fellowship picked about six things off that list and just said, we're going to take care of them.
Oh, my gosh.
No matter what, they're going to show up.
Goosebumps.
It's incredible. Every year, one of the things that we're always low on are sleeping bags, tents, and tarps. And, of course, those are the more expensive items. They take a little bit more work. However, this year, people have really gone into their storage or gone to the store, and our goal is to get 40. And I'm feeling pretty confident right now that we're going to be close to 75 or 80 sleeping bags and or tents. Yeah. RE/MAX Realty, the Fab team, they're down at the south end of town. They heard about it and have undertaken it as a major initiative for them and brought in other partners to try to get all those things.
Wow.
And that makes a gigantic, gigantic difference. If you, and this is what I tell all my friends now, but go outside tonight, go outside right now and take your jacket off and just be out there for 10 minutes and take in how it feels, how your skin feels being in that cold. And then think about the possibility of not having the ability to go back in somewhere at night. And it changes your perspective about spending $25 on a sleeping bag that is going to change someone's life and the way that they're moving by in this world.
Yeah, amen to that. So yeah. What do you still need?
Okay, so now one of the hunts that I'm on. So every year, one of the things that I hear about that is so needed in our community is dental services. So we always receive very generous donations from local businesses of toothbrushes, toothpaste, dental floss, etc. So now I'm looking for dentists or organizations that would allow us to buy gift certificates for people to go get work done. There aren't that many places. We're reaching out to TMCC, although they don't pull teeth.
Yeah.
So last year, I just remember meeting this young man, and he had been in dental pain for like 6 months and doesn't have access to go get antibiotics. So he's there struggling. You could see the pain like on his face the whole time. And I think about people I know when you have a cavity, like that's the worst thing ever. And your whole life revolves around that little thing. So imagine that. And then you're out in 15 degree weather.
Right.
For months.
Yeah.
So
it's miserable.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we're really looking at. Also, laundry vouchers are extremely helpful. One of the barriers to entry for so many young people that are trying to get their life back together is going to get a job and getting something stable. So them sleeping in their same clothes all the time, that is a huge barrier. And it's one of the number one comments that people have about homeless people living on the streets, whether or not that's correct. So the ability for them to go and do laundry is huge. So several laundromats around the area sell little cards or whatever, and you fill them up for whatever amount. So as people have been asking, I've just been asking for $5. So if we can give out a handful of those cards to young people and say, hey, here's some laundry detergent and here's a laundry card, go and get your stuff taken care of, that will make a really big change in someone's life.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So any of the big things, tarps. Tarps can be had for as little as like $10 at Walmart and Home Depot. That can make a huge difference. You can create a structure for yourself. If you don't have a sleeping bag, you can use that to cover the rest of your stuff so that's not getting wet. When you're outside, you can also use it to camouflage your stuff. Tree hammocks are a big request. Many people don't look up into our trees around here, and we do have a growing population that is sleeping up in those trees or using those trees to keep their stuff safe. Because there's nowhere to put it.
Right.
If you're, you know, trying to move around during the day, what are you going to do with all your belongings? You need a place to put them. So those are really big ones. Food vouchers. We do on the day of the count feed relatively healthy food, and we ask all of our donors to provide very healthy food so that they're getting three solid, really hearty meals. But that's not always what you have access to on the street. So we will take gift certificates to absolutely anywhere that you want to offer them. And just remember, it's easier if they're on the bus line, of course, or accessible to anybody. But $5 means a meal to somebody.
Right.
$10 could feed a family.
Right.
So.
Okay, so you need donations more than you need volunteers at this point.
Oh, no, we just didn't get to the volunteers.
Okay.
Of course we need volunteers. So the way the count works is we set up on the 27th, which is a Wednesday night. We start at 6 p.m. We set up until midnight, which is when the count starts, and the count runs from midnight to midnight. And then we need to have volunteers also stay with the tent from midnight till 8 a.m. So we need volunteers in four-hour shifts for that entire time. I'm generally down there at least 30 of the hours. So we'll probably be volunteering together. But if you go to Homeless Youth Count on Facebook, there's a link to sign up to volunteer. So what you do is you just sign in, you create an account, you sign in, you look at the four-hour shifts available. You can look at the shifts by calendar date. It'll take you to the place on the calendar. It will show you all available shifts. We certainly need volunteers, youth volunteers, so under the age of 26, 18 to 26, we use young people to actually administer the survey. We find that we get better results if it's peer-to-peer, and it's also a very good learning experience for the volunteers in that age category. So if you are young and want to volunteer, we would love to have you. But adults, we have needs for you the entire 24 hours. And what we do is we use the adults to assist the young people. So you'll be able to be part of the survey process if you want to work with your partner. you can sit there while the survey's happening. But then if you learn something in that short little interview that they need something specific, then you can help get those items. So then you'll work with the people once they've taken the survey and you take them to our free market, which Rise works and coordinates. We collect the donations for them, but then they coordinate really the distribution because that's where they excel. So we take them to another part of the tent. We have all sorts of general needs that they may have living on the streets. And then we really focus on the more exceptional things like a sleeping bag or an emergency blanket or flashlights or anything that goes above and beyond what they can generally get on the streets. The other, just to go back to another donation need, is we need donations for people to get their ID. So at the DMV, you actually can buy a gift certificate for someone to get their ID. Sometimes that cost is so huge that then they are living and working on the streets without an ID, so that impedes their ability to get a job.
Yep.
So that is a huge one. And those, I think, are under $20.
That's such a brilliant idea. So if you're looking for more information, Facebook, just search Homeless Youth Count. You'll find the link. You guys do an amazing job. If it wasn't for you guys, this would just be some random event in the ether that was barely counted.
When the city counted for themselves, they counted 13 people. I don't know if you can get a grasp on that number. 13 in all of Washoe County. There's sarcasm in my voice right now. So it's important to really look at that group of people. I mean, we have young people that just need a little bit of help. They haven't been in public programs for so long that they can't get out of them. Many are not collecting food stamps. They're not on government programs. So they just need a little bit of help. And we have the ability to do that. Out of the 75 people that we counted last year, 69% had been on the streets more than a month. 85% said they would take housing that day if it were available.
Wow.
85%. So it's not the same as dealing with long-term homeless where you have so many more mental health issues to overcome. Not to say that the young people don't have that. It's just not as dramatic of an obstacle. So these kids want to be doing something else. They don't want to be a nuisance to society for the most part. I mean, some of them, you know, want to live free and never follow the rules. Those people are never going to come together with society anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true.
No,
you know?
I mean, you can't help everyone. That's exactly what we learned in our interview with Enyep.
Yeah, you have to want it. And I can't want it more than you want it.
Right.
Which has been, you know, very hard for me to
learn. Have a bleeding heart. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. If you know a nonprofit event or organization that would benefit from some time on air with me, you can email me, jlevity@wilkesreno.com or publicaffairs@wilkesreno.com. Check it out. Homeless Youth Count on Facebook.